Thank you, Brother Jim. Certainly, any time that you stand here, you need the prayers of everyone, that the Holy Spirit of God will bring forth that which is true and needed for every one of us. I guess the first question that I would ask this morning is, how much do we love this Lord Jesus Christ that we talk about? This centerpiece, I'll call him, of the plan of redemption. So in the process of this, I'd like to talk about a couple of things that are said by his servants. One of them comes from the end of the second chapter of Messiah in the Book of Mormon. Verse 48 and 49. This is the end of a testimony that King Benjamin had been rehearsing to his people about the things that an angel of God had brought to him. And in the midst of this, I would like to emphasize the fact that this being an angel of God that spoke to him, the Holy Ghost supplied that power and voice and words to that angel. Verse 48 on page 223. And finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are divers ways and means, even so many that I could not number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in the faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even to the end of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. One of the other places that I would like to go to here to help us with this is the third book of Nephi, chapter 5. And in verses 77 and 78 here on page 637, Jesus is speaking. It says, "But I say unto you that whatsoever you look whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already in his heart. Behold, I give unto you a commandment." And the reason I read this verse right now is, remember the other one. And this is Jesus speaking. "Behold, I give unto you a commandment that you suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that you should deny yourselves of these things, wherein you will take up your cross, than that you should be cast into hell." You'll notice the similarity and the all-inclusiveness of what Jesus is saying, because the application of this includes not only his point that he's bearing on here, but anything that you might think. And that is exactly what King Benjamin, through the angel, had been taught. In the Bible, in the second chapter of Luke, an angel had come to some shepherds on a hillside. Now I'll start at verse 8 in this second chapter. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in a field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now there is another side to this. This is a promise that he's holding out, and he's showing the people that there's something coming through the birth of the one that he's talking about here, that it's going to hold a promise out to all people. Nobody left out. The other side of it is that there are parameters, statutes, commandments included in the things that come forth with this child and the promise that he held forth that gave hope to everybody. And those standards or those requirements that he holds forth and has given, because he says, I don't tell you this the things that I thought, but as my Father taught me, I teach you. So as he did this, that means that anybody who breaks those things has nobody left out as well. So see, it's a promise that never changes. That's another thing that we're a little bit not used to in our society. There are so many changes that come along. And I guess some of those changes are the things that I want to start talking about now. I'll go to the third chapter of 1 Nephi. Because I'm going to mention something today that because of time, because of circumstances, you and I are given a duty. And that duty is to believe in this Jesus Christ. But we have a special tool to work with that had been rejected by many in the world. And so out of that special tool, I'm going to read now. I'll start reading at verse 165 on page 35. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, Thou hast beheld that the book proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew. Let me back up a little bit here. I'll back up to verse 156. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld that they did prosper in the land, and I beheld a book, and it was carried forth among them. And the angel said unto me, Knowest thou the meaning of the book? And I said, I know not. And he saith, Behold, it proceeded out of the mouth of a Jew. And I, Nephi, beheld it. And he saith unto me, The book which thou beholdest is a record of the Jews, which contains the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. And it also containeth many of the prophecies of the holy prophets. And it is a record like unto the engravings which are upon the plates of brass, save there are not so many. Nevertheless, they contain the covenants of the Lord, which he hath made unto the house of Israel. Wherefore, they are of great worth unto the Gentiles. Now, maybe there is another thing that I should read here. Before I go on to kind of give us an understanding of what's being said, and it's on page 26. And you're talking about, you, if any of you have read this book, and most of you probably have, I hope, Lehi had a vision. And because of this vision and some of the lack of understanding that Nephi felt that he had, and Lehi was his father, he wanted to see and understand the vision. So, believe it or not, he didn't go to his daddy and say, tell me about this, explain it all to me. He went to another father. In verse 26, it kind of points out what it's saying here. It came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him, as well in times of old as in times that he should manifest himself unto the children of men. For he is the same yesterday and today and forever. One other scripture I'm going to read, because this is way before Christ was born in the flesh. The next thing I'm going to read comes from the 10th chapter of Moroni, which is in the end of the book, verses 4 and 5, out of that 10th chapter on page 775. And when ye shall receive these things, I would exhort you that you would ask God, the Eternal Father, in the name of Christ, if these things are not true. And if ye shall ask with a sincere heart, with real intent, having faith in Christ, he will manifest the truth of it unto you by the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things. And before I go on, I want to turn to the 14th chapter of St. John now. I won't read extensively here. I'll just read verse 26 for brevity's sake. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. These are things that are vital that we do, because in our land, we're having a problem nowadays. Jesus told his people when he was here and visiting them in the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi, he told them all the things that they should do. And then after he left and gave him a rest at night, or supposedly a rest, to help him contemplate the things that he had taught them that first day. As they awaited, they came back, and he had chosen 12 disciples. And so the multitude was large enough, he broke it into 12 groups. And they taught the people the things that Jesus said. Nothing varying from the words that he said. And then they prayed to the Father for the thing that they most desired. I've just read you the responsibility of this thing that they desired. And the thing that they most desired was that God would give them that Holy Ghost, so that they might see, so that they might understand. And they knew also that in this, that presence of that Holy Spirit would also supply strength to them to do the things that they were asked to do. which is one of the things that the Apostle Peter found out. And the way he found out was to deny Jesus 3 times in one night. And as he did that, then he found out when the day of Pentecost came, in his great pain and agony of realizing that he had been told this is what he would do. He said with all of his heart he would not do that. But when the time came, when the rubber met the road, he wasn't strong enough. But he still believed what Jesus said, that he could repent, that he could hang on to him and recover. And so that strength of the day of Pentecost and that power of the Holy Spirit came to him with understanding, with guidance, with strength to improve his resolve. Then he could go ahead. And the thing that we're going to be required to do, and as we go along here, we'll see that. The thing that we need to recognize, if we love this Jesus Christ and we are told that we're supposed to feast upon his word, because it would tell us all things that we should do. Now, if we believe that, we have to recognize that in our world today, the image of Jesus Christ in the minds of men has been remodeled, if that's the right way to say it. They have made him into really an unholy individual, much like themselves. I didn't really believe a lot of these things, but I encountered a time when I needed to go to church with somebody else. And these people, in their minds, they were not trying to say anything bad. But they had so remodeled this person we call Jesus Christ that he was no longer the Son of God. And now we see the reason why many feel that he was not. He was only a great prophet. Not realizing when they say that, that the atonement that is needed for mercy to apply had to be done by that Son of God. And so they can't fit it all together. But with us, we have a special responsibility because this love of Jesus Christ and the tools that he has given to us make us guardians of his word. I'll go on reading here. We talked about the plates of brass. It goes on and says in verse 164, "Wherefore they are of great worth unto the Gentiles. And the angel of the Lord said unto me, Thou hast beheld the book, beheld that the book proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew. And when it proceeded forth from the mouth of a Jew, it contained the fullness of the gospel of the Lord, of whom the 12 apostles bear record. And they bear record according to the truth which is in the Lamb of God. Wherefore these things go forth from Jews in purity unto the Gentiles according to the truth which is in God. And after that they go forth by the hand of the 12 apostles of the Lamb from the Jews unto the Gentiles, behold, after this thou seest the formation of a great and abominable church which is most abominable above all of the churches. For behold, they have taken away from the gospel of the Lamb many parts which are plain and most precious. And also many covenants of the Lord have they taken away. And all this have they done that they might pervert the right ways of the Lord, that they might blind the eyes and harden the hearts of the children of men. Wherefore thou seest that after the book hath gone forth through the hands of the great and abominable church, there are many plain and most precious things taken away from the book, which is the book of the Lamb of God. After these plain and precious things were taken away, it goeth forth unto all the nations of the Gentiles. And after it goeth forth unto all the nation of the Gentiles, yea, even across the many waters which thou hast seen with the Gentiles, which have gone forth out of captivity, thou seest, because of the many plain and precious things which have been taken out of the book, which were plain unto the understanding of the children of men, according to the plainness which is in the Lamb of God. And because of these things which are taken away out of the gospel of the Lamb, an exceeding great many do stumble. Yea, insomuch that Satan hath great power over them. Nevertheless, thou beholdest that the Gentiles which have gone forth out of captivity and have been lifted up by the power of God above all other nations upon the face of the land, which is choice above all other lands, which is the land which the Lord God had covenanted with thy father, that his seed should have for the land of their inheritance. Wherefore thou seest that the Lord God will not suffer that the Gentiles will utterly destroy the mixture of thy seed which is among thy brethren, neither will he suffer that the Gentiles shall destroy the seed of thy brethren. Neither will the Lord God suffer that the Gentiles shall forever remain in that state of awful blindness which thou beholdest that they are in because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which have been kept back by that abominable church whose foundation thou hast seen. Wherefore, saith the Lamb of God, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles, unto the visiting of the remnant of the house of Israel in great judgment. And it came to pass that the angel of the Lord spake unto me, saying, Behold, thus saith the Lamb of God, after thy have visited the remnant of the house of Israel, and this remnant of which I speak is the seed of thy father, wherefore after I have visited them in judgment and smitten them by the hand of the Gentiles, and after that the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and most precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb which have been kept back by that abominable church which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, wherefore I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, saith the Lamb, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed. Now remember who he's talking to. He's talking to Nephi. I had to lose my place here again. For behold, I will manifest, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after that thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up, to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they which shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure unto the end, they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of God, or of the Lamb, rather. Yea, whoso shall publish peace, that shall publish tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. And as this is happening, it is coming forth from this book. Now we say to ourselves, why doesn't this came forth across the many waters with those who came out of captivity, this record of the Jews? This onslaught of change didn't begin just lately, but it continues just lately. Fact is, there's probably other incidents, but the first one that I'm remembering out of history came forth at a time that you call a conference at Nice. When Constantine, in the bringing forth to that conference, had the scriptures translated from what they then called a unical text into what was known as the running Greek. And as he did, he changed parts of the scriptures. One of was in 1 John chapter 5, which talks about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost being one. And in the original writings of John, it said that the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost agreed in one. And that's been taken out of our Bibles. These things we need to recognize, not just this one point, but that these things occurred because the devil was working. It was brought out in our Sunday school class this morning that you can't say use certain words for things because it offends people. Well, I guess I'm going to ask our good Lord to help us not be offended. Because when Jesus said that we should have our responses be a yea, yea, and a nay, nay, he meant we need to make it clear that people understand what we're saying. And if certain things are being done, like is pointed out by Paul in the 10th chapter of Romans, right in those first few verses. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. This is the thing we need to recognize has happened to us. Just like I've heard all my life, I guess, the expression that you need to become as a little child or you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And I've heard this discussed at great length. But I'd like to read to you something out of that first book of Messiah. It's on page 218. For the natural man is an enemy to God and has been from the fall of Adam and will be forever and ever. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and putteth off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ, the Lord, and becometh as a child, now it's going to tell you how to do that. Submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child does submit to his father. If you do that, you have broken yourself to follow the Lord and have that contrite spirit along with it. This first incident that I'm talking about, now whether this was actually what Constantine was talking about, I can't tell you. All I'm saying is this is a guess, because it looks like probably he was a little fearful, because he's been referred to many times and was in that conference by some of the presbyters and called that Christian yet unbaptized emperor. He was taking over the church, but he was never baptized. And people wonder why, maybe. Well, you know, if he did that, he knew then he wasn't dealing with the church. He wasn't dealing with the people who he was trying to control. He was dealing with the Creator. I think he realized that. And so he felt like he wouldn't breach that thing. So he was not baptized ever. But in the process of this all happening, I guess one of the times that I run into this, I was trying to look for a Bible for some people that I said that I would get someone bring to them. And I looked through a display of Bibles for probably about 30 to 45 minutes before I found one that I could use. Because all of them were those remodeled Bibles. And I'm not saying that there's not errors in this King James, because the book says there is. But at the same time that it says this, it tells you that that is the record that you're supposed to use. And if you have studied any of the rest of the Bibles, you will realize that any mistakes that were there were only a sheer beginning of what has come later and that we now face. And that when you go to talk to people, that the Bible that they read doesn't say the same thing that yours does. We wonder why that might happen. But there is an explanation given, and it's found in the 12th chapter of 3rd Nephi on page 671. And Mormon here is, in his translation, he is telling us about the same thing that St. John does when he said that if all the things that Jesus said were written down, he didn't feel like maybe the whole world could contain the books. Well, Mormon says here in the beginning of verse 1, it says, "Now there cannot be written in this book even a hundredth part of the things which Jesus did truly teach unto the people. But behold, the plates of Nephi do contain the more part of the things which he taught the people. And these things have I written, which are a lesser part of the things which he taught the people. And I have written them to the intent that they may be brought again unto this people from the Gentiles, according to the words which Jesus hath spoken. And when they shall have received this, which is expedient that they should have first, to try their faith, and if it so be that they shall believe these things, then shall the greater things be made manifest unto them. And if it so be that they will not believe these things, then shall the greater things be withheld from them unto their condemnation. Behold, I was about to write them all, which were engraven upon the plates of Nephi, But the Lord forbid it, saying, I will try the faith of my people. Therefore I, Mormon, do write the things which have been commanded me of the Lord. We're not ready. Now, whether you can put a time frame on that or not, I can't tell you. All I know is we have to use what we have. But we need to conscientiously and carefully guard the simplicity of the teachings of Jesus Christ and their comprehensiveness in their application to every facet of our lives. And only in doing this can we fulfill the duty that we have. And I would like to call this to your attention. When someone, maybe even vehemently, challenges you in what you read, do not let yourself indulge yourself in being angry with them. It is your duty to stand firm, and it is also your duty not to have an angry outburst. Because we are put in a position that we must defend the Word of God and use it. It was interesting to me this morning after this message had been given to me that in our Sunday school class, the similarity to the issues that I'm talking to you about now were alluded to. And the need that people had to realize that no matter how important you were, no matter how much you think you are above the law, you can't really be above the law. But when it comes to the law of God and the righteousness of God, those guidelines are things that no matter who you are or you think you should be, you have to go by those things. Another simple and yet difficult thing to really feel like you can do. You always feel like, well, I have to correct things. And brothers, that's not our job to correct it. The final judgment and the total correction is in the hand of the Almighty and always has been. We are watchmen and guardians of the Word. And we must be sincere. We must be tenacious and enduring. And you know, it depends on who you're talking to. The other day, and it reminded me because my brother came to me and talked to me just before the service. I talked to this young man about his life. And we went through many of the things written in the scriptures. Some of them we didn't get a chance to go and read as such, but we talked about them. And when we got all done, he says, I don't have a problem with that. I know I have to change the way I think about those things. I want to be baptized and I'm ready. And then the testimony has come back now that I guess very touching to me because he tells others around him that he had never felt the Spirit of God in the force that he did that day. But it impresses me with the reality of the duty of the things that we are doing and of the things that are involved. And it makes me recognize, too, that this Jesus Christ, whom I think I love and I hope I do, must have felt a great burden of the duty that he had. And at the same time recognizing that the barrier that humanity would like to go beyond is you could not force these things on other people. You could talk to them about it. You could persuade them, influence them. But they have to decide all of these things themselves, no matter how old they are. And you know, this is one of the things with children sometimes that's hard for them to realize. Because up to a point, they don't understand. And when they begin to understand, then they think, I can't do that. And then they finally begin to realize the same thing that comes into promise that is made a lot of times when there's a wedding going on. And the final promise is made with the help of God. This I will do. We've found it. I don't think they've actually made a law as such. But because of the way our high court has interpreted things, it makes it so that now you're not supposed to pray in public places. Well, I guess I'd like to go to the 14th chapter of 2 Nephi and read the last verse. Or the last three verses, I'm sorry. Page 164. And now, my beloved brethren, I perceive that you ponder still in your hearts, and it grieveth me that I must speak concerning this thing. For if you would hearken unto the Spirit, which teacheth a man to pray, you would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth not a man to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you that you must pray always and not faint, that you must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place you shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. And what kind of a thing can you perform that wouldn't be or have effect on the welfare of your soul? But there is one thing that we need to do, and I guess the thing that I'm trying to emphasize to you at this time, we've got an old saying here that people use great often. It's a scriptural quote. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, there's no light in them. Well, that's true. But if it's been reworded and remodeled so that the people can't understand what the law and the testimony is, how desperate is their need? This is the thing that we need to recognize that God can do, and that he is equal to the task if his followers are sincere and they cry out to him no matter what the stressful circumstances are that they find themselves in. They have to have confidence in him that no matter where they are, if they're in a great storm at sea, if they're a locked ward in a hospital, or any of these places, that there is no place you can go that he can't be there and will be there by your side. The story of Jonah should have taught us that, but now they're saying that that's only a myth. It didn't really happen. Just like some of the things that Jesus did They're saying, well, those are all real nice stories, but they didn't really happen. That's like saying, brothers, God didn't create the world. I'm not really here. But you know you are. If it comes a time, and I know it's hard to find now, but this message that comes in this word, and in discussing some people with one of those Bibles and the things that they're saying, that Jesus didn't do the things that he said and didn't say the things that he said, I kind of held up the book and I said, well, that's one thing this book does for us. When they say he didn't say this, here's another people beyond the line of communication of the day that Jesus taught and gave his word. And when you try to say that this one is not really true, it's only a good story, then you find here this other recorded in another place that says that Jesus came and taught them that. And he was there and they heard his voice. So those things that he said are true. Those things that he did are true. And we need to realize that the way we really understand that it bears into the depths and the center of our soul is this great thing that the people, as Jesus taught them there and they taught his word, they prayed for the thing that they most desired, and it was the Holy Ghost be given to them. This mighty power and Spirit of God to illuminate our soul, to give us strength and understanding to see what's right in every situation of our lives. When Jesus was there teaching them, then they were nailed in prayer and they heard him pray in a marvelous way. And as they ended that prayer, he said for them, he wanted them to stand on his feet. But you know, the next thing he said that to me is just as important to all the other things. But it's a part of the whole message. He told them, rise to your feet, but don't stop praying in your heart. He wanted us to have that constant prayer in our heart to him so that we would never forget. He knew we couldn't be on our knees all the time. He knew that there would be times when you'd have to do work and different things and like that. So with that prayer in our hearts, we never break a connection with him if we can do that. And we will say to ourselves, well, can he hear me when I can't speak out loud? I guess I'll tell you about another story that sometimes people say didn't really happen, but it did. For 400 years, the Israelite nation was in Egypt. And along toward the end of that time, the Pharaoh changed. And the last Pharaoh that they were under that brought them into this terrible bondage, and they would pray out loud and cry out to God, and he told them that if somebody does that, you're to penalize them, you're to beat them, or you're to kill them, whatever is necessary to get that stopped. And so they prayed in their hearts. And God heard the prayer from their heart. Before you can speak it, it has to come from there anyway. So don't allow yourself to be deluded into thinking that this God of ours doesn't always hear our prayers. He doesn't always answer the way we would like to see. because he doesn't always bring it about in a quick way. But look at the history of what he's done. He's always able to influence people, even the wicked ones, enough to bring about what he sees as necessary for the next step of what is going to happen. He doesn't like it all the way it is. But believe me, he's always going to bring it to the fruition so that people understand that he is God, regardless of what they say. You can say what you want. It doesn't change whether he is God or not. Because he is God, and I am not. I'll end with this last saying. It seems a little crude, maybe, but it says, we ain't what we was. We ain't what we gotta be. But thank God, we ain't what we was. I misquoted that a little bit. We ain't what we ought to be. We ain't what we're gonna be. But thank God we're not what we was. May the good Lord bless all of you. Let us truly pray for each other, and I know we do. Thank you.